This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom and as always I'm joined with my co-host John.
Hi.
And this week we are talking about The Fall Guy.
The Fall Guy, oh my god. You know, Ryan Gosling. My.
I do know Ryan Gosling, yes.
Yeah,
I'm
Ryan
familiar
Gosling.
With him. I've heard
you,
of
you
him.
Know
yeah,
Ryan
yeah.
Gosling? You
yeah,
know
yeah,
Ryan
yeah,
Gosling?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We know Ryan Gosling. I believe the last time we talked about Ryan, he was in Barbie.
Yes.
And he was also in The Gray Man. Yes. That
oh,
film.
God. Yeah.
You know, everything was gray. And the reason was like, yeah, we're going to have that gray color grading in here. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Gray.
Tom, I make the jokes.
Oh, no,
here,
I'm the straight man, you're the funny man. Okay, I see. we need to stay in our lanes here.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I've taken it now. But yeah, this is another Ryan Gosling film, and I believe it's based off a series. This is another Ryan Gosling film. Don't you agree? This is like another feeling, you know, that he's in this another action-packed movie, and it's just like, he's me! That's him! That's the guy we see in films. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Gosling has had just an incredible run. I think particularly in the second half of the 2010s, he just made incredible film after incredible film. But I must say, his filmography has struggled with action. But obviously,
definitely.
You know, The Gray Man is not very great. I would go as far as to say it's a bad movie. And, you know, like, Ryan Gosling is good in it, but it's not nearly the caliber of some of his other films. This one is the closest, I think, you get to an action film for Ryan Gosling, apart from The Gray Man. And I really, really wanted to love this film. Like, I remember when the first trailers dropped and I was like, oh no, is this gonna be bad? And then, like, I saw the second trailers and I was like, no, here we go. This is gonna be brilliant. And I'm a big fan of David Leitch, the director, big fan of Bullet Train. We did a video on that. I think it's great, but this one just didn't really come together for me. And don't get me wrong, I think this film is fine. I don't feel overwhelmingly positive or overwhelmingly negative about it. I do think it's got some really great stuff and some really kind of mediocre stuff. I was really hoping for, especially after Gosling starred in Barbie, which was such a smash hit and, you know, such a slam dunk of a film, and it did everything that it needed to. This one I just really felt missed the mark, and it just kind of slipped quite a few times. And so it wasn't really a slam dunk, it was just a bit of a
Agree. When I went to see the trailers of The Fall Guy, I was really hyped for it. It could be another action movie with Ryan Gosling, but I was worried about, could it be a repercussion of The Gray Man? The thing when I went into this movie was, it was losing its identity throughout the movie. It was like, what's it trying to say? There was a massive thing that I had to say, which was about I was about to say the underworld. No, the hidden world of stunt people and how they don't get enough attention behind the scenes. And I thought that's the one thing the promotions would say, you know, like Ryan Gosling even said that this is a film that is a tribute to stunt people in Hollywood. But again, it was losing the story side to it. Like, what's the story going to tell us? And it was losing its pace. It was losing the things that you're trying to focus on. But then it goes back and forth in a really weird motion, and you just feel like this is a very weird whiplash.
Yeah, I feel like the thing that they were aiming for in this film was shining a light on stunt workers and that kind of amazing profession. Obviously, there aren't any major awards for stunts. It should 100% be a stunt category in the Oscars. And the film begins with a voiceover where Ryan Gosling's talking about, you know, stunt performers. They're all in all your favorite films and you don't really give them the credit they deserve. And it also ends during the credits, you get behind the scenes of the film itself and all the amazing stunts that were done. It is incredible. And they succeeded in that. That is what they wanted you to take away. And I think that is absolutely it. The problem, I think, is the plot. I think it lets the film down. Like, it's this love story between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt's characters. And I just think it's a bit flat. And I don't understand that. Like, that doesn't compute in my brain, because Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, they have great chemistry. If you look at any of the promos for this film, any of the interviews, they really work together. They even presented an Oscar where they were bantering about Oppenheimer and Barbie, and it was brilliant. And they really work together. But I hear they're just not clicking. I don't know if it's the script, their scenes just don't really work. You know, a lot of it is over the phone or across a film set, which I don't think that does anything for their banter or their chemistry. And I don't think it would be that much of a problem if it wasn't the central emotional narrative of the film. If their romance was a side piece, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal, but it is. And unfortunately, I think it left a lot to be desired. You know, like technically, all the stunts and all the action is really cool, but if the emotions don't work, then none of it's really going to click. And that I felt was the core problem.
That was the one thing that was left out the movie, this relationship, and that Ryan Gosling's trying to get back with Emily Blunt's character. But the shocking thing was that, as you said, the chemistry felt really flat throughout the movie, and I didn't know why it was heading that direction. And on the one hand, there's the mystery side to it. We won't get into spoilers just yet. There's the mystery side to it, and then there's the love relationship side to it. And I wish there was a better way of structuring it. So I wish there was a better way to balance it and to focus on the love relationship side of it, because that was what the movie was trying to sell you about in the promotion. Like, there's this guy that was trying to be with Emily Blunt's character. That was the one thing that I wish that they could have emphasized more on.
Yeah, I think the character work just felt lacking. It's a massive shame, massive surprise as well, because, you know, you compare this to Bullet Train, which again, I loved, and I haven't looked this up, but you know, it could be different writing teams, you know, it could be a whole host of reasons, but Bullet Train has immaculate character work. All the different characters are so well defined, and their relationships with each other work so well. The structure of the film, the actors portraying them, it all comes together. This one, I just feel like there was too many disparate elements that didn't ever really click with each other. I think there are definitely moments of brilliance that I think speak to the potential of David Leitch that he does show in Bullet Train, but I feel like the overall, he didn't carry that same flair or that same spark. And even technically, it's the same cinematographer as Bullet Train, but it really just doesn't capture nearly any of those same aesthetics or any of the same kind of style, you know, through the action or through any of it. I just think it's such a strange decision, because none of it doesn't work. You know, none of it, like, none of it's like terrible. It's a mediocre love story. You know, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's the fact that it is just so unmemorable.
Yeah, it just felt like, again, the improved version of The Gray Man. It just like up in the scale. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into some more specifics.
Right. So there was the dog. That was the best bit in the movie, you know, with the dog. And Ryan Gosling's character, he was communicating in French. And I thought that was just pretty funny. And that sequence, you know, when they fought on that garbage truck, Ryan Gosling did some of the stunt work, which was pretty cool. And the dog, that was the best bit of the movie. And the music behind that was just really funny as well, just trying to balance between that. And that was the point in the movie. It was like, yeah, that's where it needs to have that kind of balance between this stuntman trying to investigate murder. But regarding jokes, that joke with the dog, that was brilliant. But the jokes in the movie kind of overstayed their welcome in some particular scenes. For example, there's one scene where Ryan Gosling's character is doing a stunt where he has to be on fire and then gets thrown away by an explosion in this movie set. And Emily Blunt's character is talking about their relationship on set to the alien's character, which is pretty good. At first, he was like, oh, this is trying to explain about each other's issues in the first place. But then it just slowly telling the audience in the face, like, this is their relationship. And then it just went on and on and on. And I wish that they had a pace. Because when it comes to comedy, there's got to be a sort of pace where they can explore other jokes.
Yeah, I remember that scene happening, and they both have megaphones. And again, there was this kind of disconnect between the two, because they were like, you know, in opposite shots. For all we know, they weren't on the same set filming that scene. It was so very strange. And I was watching it and I was like, oh, so both of these characters in this moment are horrendously unlikable people. And that didn't do anything for me. Like, I couldn't root for them. And I was so confused. And I think that in terms of the comedy, we have some brilliant performers in this cast. Winston Duke is there and he's delightful. He has a really funny moment where he like picks up like a tomahawk and it might be like fake, you know. Hannah Waddingham is so fun, you know, as well. There's a fun smaller role kind of cameo from Stephanie Hsu. But I think the one who towers above the, like, he is leagues ahead of everyone else and yet he has so little to do, is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Man, this is a star. You see it in Bullet Train, Age of Ultron, Kick-Ass, Tenet. The man is just legendary. He is like such a present, and he is effortlessly funny in this film. Some of of his antics and the way that he's such a melodramatic and campy actor within the film. But everyone's like, wow, he's so good. I love that. And, yeah. You know, he's just not in it enough. I wanted so much more from him. You know, like, if it wasn't already clear from Bullet Train, where I think everybody agrees that he and Brian Tyree Henry were the standouts of that film. The guy is a star. He needs to lead some more. Exactly. After seeing him here, I'm kind of like more excited for Kraven the Hunter because this guy is awesome. And whenever he was on screen, I was like, yes, give me more Aaron Taylor-Johnson in this film. Even at the end, there's a really funny bit with Jason Momoa when they show the actual trailer for the film and it's actually Jason Momoa doing all those, like, having replaced Aaron Taylor-Johnson. I really enjoyed that element of the film because I was just kind of like, yeah, the bits that they get the most right is with Aaron Taylor-Johnson. And I have no idea why that didn't translate to the rest of the cast because they are all amazing. But I just found myself wanting to see so much more of him.
Yeah. Again, the mystery side to it, that could have been explored a bit more because it just felt like it was the back of his mind. We could have seen more of Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Again, yeah, he's legendary and I loved him in Bullet Train. I agree, he had such a strong presence in the film as Tom Ryder. And one of my favorite jokes is that Tom Ryder does like a promotion for this perfume ad and it is just him hitting rocks. And it was like very dramatic about this perfume. I thought that was funny as well. But the film itself felt like it was trying to replicate being a film, which I don't know how to describe.
Whoa.
That. So deep, bro. Well, this is the philosophy. So what I mean by that is that the film is being meta towards the audience. For example, there's the split screen scene, which again, it overstayed its welcome. And I wish that could have just taken away from the movie. It was just trying to be meta towards the audience. It just felt very odd in places. Like there will be moments that come out of nowhere that will just have no build up. And it just felt like, why are we just getting thrown into that? And it's the jokes that come out of nowhere and they just don't land at all. And you just feel confused. That's how I felt like, okay, that felt really odd. But the editing as well, like you just felt like, where did the jokes come from? Did he land? No. And you just left confused, just like, okay, what was that split screen thing then? Was that funny? Was that meta? Or was that symbolism? Was that symbolism in the movie? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's this strange thing where, like, why isn't Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in
together?
The same... Yeah, like, in the same space. Like, I don't know if it was scheduling or if that's just generally how the film is written, but it just really leaves this very, very strange disconnect. It feels like a lot of those post-COVID films where very clearly actors aren't on the same set and who are they talking to that's talking to, like, you know, a tennis ball and a stick. It all just felt very, very strange. And I don't think this film was made like that because there is a lot of kind of physicality to it. You know, you can't really do that, yeah. You know, like so soon after COVID, I don't think. But yeah, that was a bit strange. There was a moment where Colt, which is Ryan Gosling's character, was drugged and he's kind of like fighting in this club. Everything's kind of going all weird, distorted, and the camera movements are so exaggerated. And that was the action that I expected throughout. It felt like more like what you see in Bullet Train. And you've got the fantastic choreography. And I think that that's the moments when, like, you know, the movements of the cameras and they become so much exaggerated. That really, really worked. But that was the only time that it happened. And I was like, I wish more of the film was like that because it was kind of sourceless, you know, throughout, like, and I do think the climax was stunning, but it was those two moments where I was like, yes, here we go. Like, you know, and that was disappointing. But I will say that, like, no matter what I thought about the film, the ending brought it all together. I was so thrilled with this. You know, you get the best stunts, you know, all the stunt workers battling it out while explosives are going off. There's a car chase, like, you know, there's helicopter antics, spectacular jumps, and, you know, it's all so visceral and it feels real. I mean, you know, so much of the film is actual stunts and actual incredible moments of real performers doing superhuman feats. And sometimes I didn't really feel like you could tell, you know, in the garbage truck scene, I wasn't sure if that was real or if it was done in a studio. And I found out later that that was real and you see it during the credits. But the whole third act climax, that's where all the stunts get to shine. That's where you really feel like, okay, this is what they made this film for. And that climax isn't really about the love story. It's not really about anything to do with the characters, but it is where you get some of the biggest payoffs, and you really feel it, you know, like when Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are talking to each other and she's in the car and he's in the crane, or when Ryan Gosling and Aaron Taylor Johnson are in the car together and all the explosions are going off and Aaron Taylor Johnson is freaking out. Really delightful stuff. That whole ending, I was just like, yes, this is what I came to see. And the way that it linked up with the film set and all those different stunt performers getting to do their thing, having their moment to shine, I was just loving it. And like, you know, if the rest of the film was like that, then that would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have been more fun with that ending. Like, it did really brought it all together. Again, it just felt like, why did they lack all of that but had that in the ending? It's just like that disconnection, but then the ending just kind of brought it together. So it was a bit strange for me. It was like, oh, this ending kind of goes hard, you know, with everything that's, it's just chaotic with the stunt performers trying to fight with the villains of the story. Yeah, I thought the ending was pretty good. And there was a whole intro, which was really cool. You know, like it was a one shot with Ryan Gosling. But then they had a whole story where Ryan Gosling's character doesn't want to be working for Hollywood as a stunt person. And I thought that was pretty interesting to look back into. And I thought, you know, is it trying to build up the conflict throughout the movie that he's trying to become that stunt person again? But then it just goes 180. I'm like, yeah, I'm back in this now. So it's like, okay, why did we have that whole thing again? It just felt very odd, and we could have easily explored that. And that would have been so interesting to see him trying to get over stunt work, you know, like trying to get back into that world. But no, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go see the person I really love.
Yeah, what was with that? That whole like 10, 15 minutes, it was pointless. You could have made a really interesting comment about how Hollywood doesn't really care about its stunt performers. I think
even
this week, there has been a tragic death of a stunt performer on the set of 9-1-1. Horrible. So many stories like this have happened, and productions have been halted because stunt performers aren't treated with enough respect. You could have made a really, really powerful message about that. They just didn't really seem concerned with it. And so what's the point of having that whole intro section? Maybe that was something that was in another cut of the film, an earlier draft. I don't know. But that just felt super, super weird. They definitely did want to be shining the spotlight on the stunt performers. And they did do that really well. And I question why the film was a flop. Like, obviously, you know, it didn't smash it for either of us. And, you know, that's like, it was fine. I'm not heartbroken by it. But I was hoping for a lot more. And I think it does suck to see that it has flopped at the box office. You know, it's unlikely to make its budget back. And, you know, that budget, it's not even that much higher when compared to like a lot of other blockbusters. It's not like upwards of 200 million, like something like Indiana Jones was. It's the first blockbuster to open the summer movie season that hasn't been a sequel or a reboot or a franchise film in, I think, over a decade. And it's a massive shame it didn't do well. I mean, obviously, you know, people are going to see Godzilla Kong, people are going to see Planet of the Apes, you know, that's brilliant. And for whatever reason, audiences didn't seem to be interested in this. And you kind of wonder why these things are becoming more common when you look at blockbuster films and, you know, the landscape. And I hope that things like this, it doesn't stop studios from taking a risk on an unconventional concept, you know, that's overwhelmingly practical and made of passion and care. I hope, if nothing else, it shines a light on the importance and the greatness of stunts. And some people definitely did like it, because I have an email here from Samuel Masson, who says, "Hello there. Well, Tom and John, I think this is the best movie of 2024 so far. I had an absolute blast with it, and I only saw it for an extra time in the cinema for good measure. This film has it all: comedy, action, romance, and a pretty good soundtrack. The chemistry between Gosling and Blunt was so great in this movie, and it really helped push it to that next level. They are two of my favorite people in the acting industry, so there might be slight bias there. But when you give me Aaron Taylor Johnson, Winston Duke, and the amazing Hannah Waddingham, it's just a perfect recipe for an enjoyable time. And the various references and Easter eggs to some of Hollywood's best was fun to see, especially Jean-Claude Van Damme the dog. Of course, to round out, we were treated with Aquaman and the original Fall Guy actors themselves, Lee Majors and Heather Thomas." Wow, I didn't know that. That's really cool. And this movie was a fun reflection of Hollywood with various stars all around. The stunt work and set pieces were a blast to watch, and in a movie where stunt crew are the main focus, it's a good job they worked. I have seen some people say that they were a bit boring, but if you thought that, then this ain't the movie for you. Each set piece was a fun watch, and I very much looked forward to seeing it again. So I had an absolute blast with this film, and will wholeheartedly push this for best film of the year so far. I do understand that this film is not for everyone, but it hit all the right notes for me. 9 out of 10. It's meme time. And then it's this, and it's
Oh my God.
Holland March, Officer K, Ken, Neil Armstrong, Colt Seavers, Sebastian Wilder, and then it's Thanos, Ryan Gosling, adding all another great character to his resume. It's all the Infinity Stones.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sam. Well, that's interesting because obviously this film didn't work for us, but it seemed to really work for Sam, especially some of those notes that we weren't too happy with, like the romance. Seems like Sam really, really enjoyed that. And I'm really happy about that because if any film can touch any one person, then it's been a success. You know, like for Sam, this is the best film of the year. And I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a success. I mean, what you said about this is not like a sequel or reboot. This is like the first one in 2024 that you think of that opens up with the action blockbuster of the summer. And it's great to see people enjoying movies, like going back to the cinema and talk about it. And that's the essence of films. You talk about it and then you talk about what wasn't right. And it just brings people together. But I'm glad that now people go into the cinema and just seeing something new or something they don't like. And that's the joy of it.
Yeah, I recently finished my university course, and on one of my final days, I was in the students' union, and there were three women, and one of them was saying, like, oh yeah, so I watched this film called The Fall Guy, and the other two were like, oh yeah, what's that about? And I was like, well, it's Ryan Gosling, and sometimes he's shirtless, and he's really sexy, and I was like, yes. They know what they're coming to see, like, they know exactly why they come to the movies, and that's to see Ryan Gosling, and I cannot blame them.
Yeah, I cannot blame them. It's Ryan Gosling, so it's great.
Yeah, the man himself. Okay, so Fall Guy, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7.
All right, nice. I'm going to give it a 6. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you are listening on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're going to be doing Mad Max Fury Road in preparation for Furiosa, which, you know, I saw for the first time recently, and I'm so thrilled about it. That's going to be brilliant. You can send us an email at ourstimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Wednesday, so let us know your thoughts on Mad Max Fury Road by then, and we will answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Outer Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me as well, don't forget me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts, and you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips for vocals as always, and I think that's everything. The Fall Guy!
Bada bing!
Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Bye.
Bye.